Right, I think we're ready, aren't we? The bell is the timer, ready to roll. I was getting ready to say good morning. Let me try again. Good afternoon. You brave souls who have channeled the waters to come and worship our mighty God. What a precious gift. Thank you. What a blessing it is. I love your call to worship. Come to the church in the Wildwood. This is one of my all-time favorites. And every time we do the homecoming, it was always this song. And when we think about our home churches, isn't this the song that comes to mind? Always, always. So, there's a church in the Wildwood. Who wants to start us off with the first note?
There's a church in the valley by the Wildwood, no lovelier spot in the dale. No place is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come to the church in the Wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little white church in the vale. Oh, come to the church in the Wildwood, to the trees where the wildflowers bloom, where the parting hymn will be chanted. We will weep by the side of the tomb.
Oh, come
to the church in the Wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. How sweet on a clear Sunday morning to list to the clear ringing bell. Its tone so sweet we are calling. Oh, come to the church in the vale.
Oh, come
to the church in the Wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. From the church in the valley by the Wildwood, when day fades away into night, I would fain from the spot of my childhood wing my way to the mansions of light.
Oh, come
to the church in the Wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale.
Amen. You may be seated. I think there's nothing more precious than to hear the dewdrops, to hear the raindrops fall outside our windows. Hopefully it will not put us to sleep, right? Have you ever been, does that put you to sleep and hearing you pitter-patter on the roof? It does for me. So I will be right there with you. Let us open up with a word of prayer. Oh, gracious and wonderful God, thank you for this wonderful gift of rain. Thank you for the sunshine that preceded it, allowing this moisture to not just lay on the surface, but to soak down in deep. It reminds us, Lord God, that every time we come to the water, every time we come to the well, that, Lord God, we can drink deeply of your Spirit, and, Lord, you fill us up where we no longer have a thirsty soul. So we come. We come to this church in the wildwood. We come to you, O Lord, to sing your praises, to worship you, and offer all that we are in heart, body, soul, mind, and spirit. In your precious and holy name we pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Amen. So, we have a hymn sing. What would you like to sing today? And the pages, yes, ma'am.
Yes, 487, Amazing Grace, first and last, please.
First and last, 487. And that's in the Favorite Hymns of Praise, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
You got it. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to count on you guys to start off, only because sometimes I go too high, and you know your voice is best.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now
you like to sing?
382.
Gathered
together.
Awesome. 382.
And just the first verse.
Just the first verse. Verse 1. Oh, yes. This is not just a Thanksgiving song, is it? Praise the Lord. Would you like to start?
We gather together to He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing sees them from distress. Sing praises to his name, he forgets not his own.
What else? 138. We're almost there. Let's see. Ah, nothing but the blood. Amen, sister. Which verses?
How about 1, 2, and 4.
1, 2, and 4.
Wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
No
other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
No
other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
You know, the Holy Spirit was working on us one time. There was a group of us at one of my previous churches, and we had a group. It was called our county, our Bath Charge Choir. And so this was one of the songs we sang, but guess what? We did it just a little bit differently, and actually we have a copyright on it. So you've just met one of the folks who were actually part of that. So we started out, oh, precious is the flow, and we did it real slow on the chorus. And then the next thing we know, we heard the pianist. And we were off to the races at that point and trying to keep up with, catch your breath, Mabel, here we go. You know, it was awesome. So thank you for that precious reminder. The Spirit works in wonderful ways. We just never know how, right? What else? One and three. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. We can't hardly see the depth of the sun, but we can see, right, the skies and the glory that is still always present.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesties of all the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee.
Two others go to that possibility of another one. Should we do one more? All righty. Young man to my right.
How about 497? Sweet mind, first and third.
497, first and third. Who would like to start us off? First and third. First and last. I'm trying to remember how the tune goes. Forgive me. I was just looking for a pencil.
There should be one inside there.
Ah, voila, merci. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say my girlfriend had the best time at church. She loves the church, and she wants to know if you can move the church down to the very church she can go to.
Oh, bless her heart.
She's hoping to come up next year. So, thank you for really welcoming her.
Where in Pennsylvania is she?
She's in Dover.
And Dover?
Dover, Manchester.
Gotcha.
Down near Maryland.
Aha, I know exactly where you are.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Friend in PA. Yes, sir.
The Daggett family?
The Daggett family. Gene Daggett, the passing his. Yes, thank you. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Jenny.
Ordinarily, our trustee Pam would be here, and she has not shown up. So that I just would pray that wherever she is or whatever she's doing, that,
right.
That she's being held in the hand of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for all of us. And ask the health and the willpower to be here.
Amen, amen. Everybody's got their web feet on. They were ready to paddle the waters, weren't they? What a blessing. Thank you. Anyone else? Miss Claudia.
I had to say travel for me and Portland. We're going away for a few days.
Save travels for Claudia. My granddaughter, her son and husband are on the road back to Virginia as we are praying and worshiping right now. So we're praying for safe travels in the midst of the weather. Anyone else? I just love the sound of the rain. Isn't that soothing? It's like a healing balm to the soul. Yes, ma'am.
I'm really thankful.
Yes.
It's great to introduce children like her.
Amen. Amen. Strong is having their VBS July 31st through that Friday, the 4th.
Ah.
Awesome. Perfect. Anything else? Alrighty, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray it up. Father God, in sunshine and rain, your spirit comes. The sound of the raindrops hitting the leaves and then the ground, reminding us, Father God, of your power and your presence in just the ordinary things of life. You come and you quench our thirsty souls. You come and you shore us up, bringing hope and promise for every future day in this coming week and, yes, the months ahead. We thank you for this particular season in our journey of faith in which we have come, Lord God, with radical trust that you, Lord, are uplifting us and holding us in every season, and even through the storms of life. I thank you for each and every single person, Lord God, whose heart and body is bowed before you. The gift of their spirit, specially designed and created by your hand. The gift of their faith, Lord God, that continues to grow and be shaped and formed after your will. We give you thanks. There are many who are traveling today. And we ask, Father God, that your hedge of protection will be around the vehicle of those traveling and those who are traveling alongside them. May it be your hands on the wheel that lead and guide their direction. Your spirit, Lord God, that whispers into their hearts and their ears the very things that they need to be mindful of. We pray, Lord God, for safe journeys for Claudia in the coming days, and pray, Lord God, you will bring her back safely to us. We pray for this trip to Portland, the granddaughter who's returning with her family to Virginia, and for Pam, Lord God. We just ask you'll be a mighty presence with her wherever she may be. We trust that you are with her. We trust, Lord God, your care in her beautiful spirit. We also pray, Father God, for a family who is grieving a loss. We ask that you will walk alongside this family, that they may know the power of your comfort that comes to us as we lean on your everlasting arms. As we trust the Spirit to be the counselor that meets them in their deepest needs right now and in the days to come. We thank you for the many, Lord God, who are giving of their hearts, bodies, soul, minds, and spirits to offer programs for the children in the area. And pray, Lord God, that seeds may be planted and watered to bear fruit in due season, in keeping with your holy will. We pray all this, Lord God, as we give you thanks and praise for your power and presence with us now. As we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Surely, the presence of the Lord is in this place. Beautiful voices. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, what a comfort. We are prepared, my friends, to offer more than just our voices and hearts and minds. We are prepared to give from the many blessings which God has given us in our offerings today.
All righty, let us stand praising God.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
The gracious and holy God, we thank you for your hand that is upon these gifts already. As we offer them back to you, may they bear fruit for your kingdom glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm going to read the scripture, and the scripture today is from Romans. So Romans 8, we're going to read 12 through 25. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. Consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruit of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. That's from Romans 8, that's 12 through 25.
Thank you so much. This, my friends, is the word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, thank you for the blessing of your word. May it be your Spirit that leads and guides us. In your precious Spirit's name we pray. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So we talk about the groaning of the Spirit. How many people remember reading this passage in some previous point? And we talked about the groaning of the Spirit. What does the groaning of the Spirit sound like to you? What do you hear when you hear the groaning of the Spirit? This is... Yeah. Yeah, do we always know what to say or do in some circumstances or situations that come along in life? I mean, I don't. Maybe you guys have more, you know, there in your suitcase than I do. The fact of the matter is we do encounter challenges in life, and there are different things that come along. Some things that, you know, cause us to pray even with a groan. What might be some of those things that come along? Yes.
And somebody pulls right in.
Yes.
I don't want to be angry at that person.
Right.
I want to pray for that person, but there's a little bit of groaning that's going on.
Yeah. I love the guy who likes to cut me off. I'm sorry, guys, nothing against you. But the person who likes to cut me off and takes almost my bumper off as he pulls over in front of me, not really totally clearing, and you have to slow down and back up just to avoid that little impact, right? Mm-hmm. There's some groaning going on there. Thank you. What else? Anything else? Absolutely. Family members.
When a family member is really, really sick.
Yeah, there's some groaning that goes on with that. There's a lot of uncertainty that comes with it, so it kind of prompts some of that groaning because we're not sure how it's going to play out, right? We walk alongside them with uncertainty. What else?
Watching the Red Sox.
I don't know what's going on with them. Tell me more, Debbie.
I haven't watched them this year, but my mother used to watch them almost every week. And you think they're going to win, and then, ugh.
Bombs away. Gotcha. I will tell you that my grandfather was an avid, avid Patriots fan. Do you all remember that long season where they couldn't win anything? They couldn't even win a touchdown, right? They had the biggest, biggest struggles. He was so faithful. He was a principal in Rhode Island for the longest time. When he came back in his retirement to live where he grew up and strong, he had season tickets, and he faithfully drove down there to the games and back in the same day. I had the blessing of, I think it was a blessing, of going with him down and back one time. He was an avid fan. But you know, they didn't win their first Super Bowl until he died that year. I said they had a cheerleader in heaven. That's all I can say. He was up there just giving them, encouraging them on. What are some of the other things that we might groan in the Spirit?
When you see an accident.
Yes. That's hard, isn't it? Yeah, that's really hard. Seeing an accident and wondering how everybody is doing. Because sometimes you get in those clusters where you just can't stop or you're going to be part of the accident. And you have to keep going until someone is able to reach them in time. Yeah, that's a groaning for sure. Anything else come to your mind? Yes, sir.
About coping with this rainy weather.
Yes.
Week after week.
How many times do you have a garden? Has anybody got a garden?
Trying.
How many times have you planted seeds? Yes, my daughter was telling me she did it 3 times. The first time or two, it didn't. The squash is finally doing its thing, but you know, it's been really hard. And the only thing I can say, and I thank God for it, is the drainage in our garden, because we fared fairly well for the most part. We had it all planted before all that rainy stuff came in. So yeah, there's different things we have to cope with that nature brings, right, Mother Nature? Other times it's been so dry here, we couldn't, you know, find a lick of water to actually water it with, hardly. That's really hard. When we talk about the groanings of the Spirit, do we hear it? Or is it something on the inside that is taking place, or maybe both? How have you experienced it?
Is it both?
Yeah.
Sometimes things come out of my mouth that are, you could call them groan.
Yeah.
But other times it's just a feeling.
I'm going to groan when the Spirit says groan, right? Yeah. It can be both. There's no doubt about it. And sometimes it's just a dampness of our spirit that is just, we would like to verbalize that, and it's really hard to, right? Because even we have a difficulty, but the Spirit is groaning for you, I can tell you that, even as we're lamenting the circumstances that we have encountered. I love this passage today because it reminds me we are not alone in all the various things that cause us to groan, because who is with you? The Holy Spirit is with you. And when we think about what Paul is trying to tell us, the Spirit just didn't, yes, the Spirit suddenly appeared. But when we think about the Spirit, there were some things that happened to prompt the Spirit to come. Jesus Christ came to us to save us from sin and death, to save us from all of the many things that, our spirits assault our spirits. But the Spirit came as a result of his departure, right? He said, another one is coming. And he promised that coming to his disciples prior to his death and resurrection and ascension, that they would be guided by the Spirit unto death, a new life in eternity, because that's where Jesus was going in preparation and preparing for them and their coming. He died preparing the disciples, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you. I love this. It tells us something about who this Holy Spirit is. Will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace, peace. Some of our circumstances don't really promote peace, do they? But peace I will leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John also writes about how Jesus again speaks of the Spirit. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. We know, as we read through the scriptures, did the Spirit come? Yes. Do you recall celebrating Pentecost? And what is Pentecost? The coming of the Holy Spirit. And he told the disciples to wait, that there was another one who was going to come and guide them, strengthen them in their journey of faith. And sure enough, at Pentecost, the Spirit comes like a violent wind, right? And the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Spirit, rests on every single disciple. Do you receive the Holy Spirit? When do you receive the Holy Spirit? I'm sorry? Amen. When you first believed and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Absolutely. In that moment, that first believing, you receive, you're not left alone. We can't see God. We can't see Jesus. But we receive the Spirit into our hearts, our minds, our souls. And our spirits are enlivened for the journey of faith. Enlivened so that we too can become a witness and testimony of the power of the Spirit that is present with us in all our days. This morning I spoke about radical trust. Radical trust, as Abraham lived it and breathed it, as he first came to know who God is, trusted God for everything. Talk about something that could be rather challenging and wonder where the Spirit is. Try moving miles and miles and walking by foot to relocate your family and your home. What about taking on some people into your family that you've not known before? Strangers who come into his camp once he finds this new land. And today we talked about him finding a wife for his son Isaac, the promised child. He, unable to journey any longer in his old age, sent his servant Eleazar out back to the homeland to find this one person that God had waiting for Isaac. Both Eleazar and Rebekah, who met him at the well, expressed and experienced radical trust because they responded in ways that was way beyond the expectation. So it is that we are called to, as we live into the Spirit as well, as children of God. Those who believe and have faith and trust in God are children of God. Are you a child of God? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm excited. Let's go dance in the rain. Yeah. Well, you know, isn't there a saying that goes with that? That, you know, when we trust God, we will dance in the rain. Right? So we dance with God in the journeys of faith, wherever they may lead. Paul describes a believer's relationship as that of an adopted person in the Roman culture. In his day, a person adopted into a family leaves behind the old family and it joins the new as an equal part, an equal relationship with the same rights as those who were born into the family. Wow. I love it because it reminds us that the past does not affect the present, does it? Not in God's kingdom. Because his grace has gone before you and with you and after you in all things. They share equal status as a family member. The same is true with Abba. I love that word because it reminds us of the word, if you translate it, daddy. Abba, Father, Daddy. And isn't this who Jesus cried out to in the Garden of Gethsemane? Abba, our Daddy, forgives. Our Abba, our Daddy, calls us to come to him with open arms and the loving heart of a child, willing to be shaped and molded by the Spirit. Our Abba calls us to live through the Spirit in our daily journeys of faith. So is it once and done when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and receive the Spirit? No, it is not. It is an ongoing journey of faith in which the Spirit is powerfully present to us, living into the ways and the will of God on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. The Spirit's role? How would you describe? What does the Spirit, Holy Spirit, do? Think about your experiences. Ah, check in your spirit, okay? Don't do that, okay? Yeah, it becomes a part of, it cautions you, absolutely. Yes, lets us receive the plantings and things that are taking place, what the Spirit wants you to have at that time, absolutely. Anything else the Spirit has done? Yes, comforts us. I think about the Daggett family. I tell you, when my grandfather and Strong passed away, I'll never forget this. When we left Strong, Virginia, where I was living at the time, and we were traveling north, I knew with a certainty, because sometimes I get a little concerned about the traffic in different places, but I was not concerned at all. We got up here, we were here for the several days, saw the funeral through, and the Brackley family is a large family, very large family. And so, are you part of the Brackley family? No.
I think we knew your parents.
Rufus and Doris Brackley? I was going to say you looked familiar to me. Praise the Lord. When he passed away, and we went over to my cousin's soccer game, because he was playing the day after the funeral, and we decided, my husband and I, to go on back. It was in the middle of the day. Which means then, on a 12-hour drive, when were we going to land home? Yeah, in the middle of the night. So, but we left. But there was a blessed peace and assurance. It was incredible. The Comforter, thank you. That's an important piece, very important piece. Absolutely. Anything else?
He prompts us to relax.
yes, prompts us to do certain things, right? I think about Eleazar as he sat by the well and he's praying. All of a sudden, he's, you know, here comes the maiden. He's getting the guidance he needs to have, the two questions he needs to ask this maiden when he encounters her, and he does it. He doesn't question it. He doesn't doubt it. He does it. And so the promise of the fulfilled generations yet to come comes through Eleazar and his radical faith. It was amazing. Think about the moments where you have experienced that yourself. You did things without really understanding, why am I doing this now? Right? You just do it. And lo and behold, you see the blessing. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to visit somebody at just the right moment. Because God said to go. And you do those things. Or to say certain things. God will give you the words through the Spirit. And all of a sudden, as you're sharing these things, the most miraculous things happen. That's not me, and that's no one else. Who is that? That is God working in and through people to make his power and presence known. And one blessing after another is received. So the Spirit leads and guides us. The Spirit will lead us away from fear that traps and hinders our ability to use the very gifts that God has given you. When we surrender our own control, ouch, you mean I don't have to plan that? Ouch, you mean I don't have to call up everybody and, right? Sometimes you get into this, relationships issues are such a big thing nowadays. Folks are struggling. There is no question of that. And yet it's so fascinating that when we surrender it to God, what he thinks he does is a miraculous. And sometimes it's a matter of waiting and trusting God to be at work in some other folks first. And then all of a sudden there's a conversation that you have with that person. And you come, it's a come to Jesus meeting, isn't it? And then all of a sudden there's ways which people are healed, including you. God is so good. So good. So he makes his presence known in through the Spirit and the very acts of what the Spirit does. The Spirit also liberates. Under the Spirit's guidance, we are freed from our fears and those inhibitions that keep us from living life in Christ. What are some of your fears? I had one person this past week tell me, I just don't like confrontation. I'd rather talk about something else. I get it. Wouldn't we all? But does that fix the problem? No. We got to name it, we got to claim it, and we got to move on with Jesus. So that's one of the fears that some people have, confrontation. Any other fear that comes to mind?
Fears of doing things by myself.
Yeah.
And being willing to ask for help.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. And does God, the Spirit, inspire you sometimes to know who to call and ask for help? Yeah. Or all of a sudden we'll put somebody in. Yeah, right in front of you. And all of a sudden it becomes very clear. Oh, God wants me to ask you. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you. What else?
I'm afraid I might say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Remember the whole verse.
Does it matter whether you remember the whole verse or not?
It doesn't. But I can feel inadequate when I don't.
Right. Exactly. So how do we give that fear over to God? How do we let the Spirit take control of that?
I don't know where the verse is where it says, don't worry about what you're going to say.
That's right.
Because you stand before somebody, I'll give you the words.
Amen. Think about Stephen as he sees Jesus sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he's before the Sadducees, and then he's trying to defend him. Well, he's not trying to defend himself. What he's doing is sharing and testifying to God before them with God's very own word. Isn't that amazing? But God gives it to you at the moment when you need it the most, right? Sometimes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And not live into the anxiety that comes with that fear. Oh, I don't have it. So one of the things that, one of my verses, example, that I love comes to me from, and now I'm trying to remember the exact chapter, verse, and chapter, in 2 Chronicles, I always mix it up, 15:20 or 20:15. For the battle is not yours, it is mine. The enemy's encamped all around the Israelites. They're outnumbered big time. But the battle's not yours, it is mine, the Lord says to the people. Does it matter which the numbers are? No. And who has a cell phone? Can you Google? If you're that concerned about it, go ahead and Google it, and then you can tell them. I'm not worried about it, but I know the Lord's word. It was planted within my heart, and that's all that matters. If I get the general gist of it, right? Mark 7:23, 9:23. All things are possible to him who believes. Do I have to have it verbatim, word for word? No, but I know the gist of it. That's all that matters. Let the anxiety go. Am I going to be perfect all the time? No. I strive to do the right thing all the time, and yes, I want to have it perfect, but it's not going to be. Is it for anybody? No. So let that fear go too. Any other fears rise to the surface? Boy, we're going to let the Spirit deal with all this, right? We're going to lay it out there before the Lord.
Sickness?
Yeah. The fear of the outcome, the uncertainty of what's going to happen, right? We never know what's going to happen. So in the 90s, my father had an aneurysm. And the aneurysm led to the blood pooling up in his brain. He was at my house. We were celebrating my youngest son's birthday, and he went out cold. He then proceeded to get sick. Dinner was no longer dinner within him, and they came. They thought it was a heart attack, and I knew darn well it wasn't. But I knew that with a certainty because the Spirit was already at work and present with us in that moment. Was I anxious at first? Yes. 5:10 the next morning, we get this call. I went with my mother to her house. My brother came with us. And we got the call from the hospital, you need to come right away and you need to make a decision. He was out still, and what was happening was because the spinal fluid travels up your spine, goes down, goes through your brain, goes back down, but it was pooling up in his brain and not returning to its origin. Caused him to go unconscious. We had to make a decision. Do we have them go in and take in, you know, you have to put a hole in the skull. That's basically what it is, to release the fluid into this drain so that he can remain conscious and viable. Otherwise, he was going to be gone. Now, I know Dad did not want any life-saving things at that point, but if that's all it was and his brain was still intact, shouldn't we do it? And we did. And his life was spared. But we did not know what was going to happen during that week because his blood pressure was all over the map. He went into surgery to have a permanent shunt put in, and he had 2 strokes. Was he disabled? You better believe he was. He couldn't even walk. Now what? Talk about uncertainty? We had no idea. My mother was in her 50s. My father was only 56. What kind of a life was before him? I prayed like nobody's business, and it wasn't until I finally surrendered and said, Lord, he's yours before he was mine. Thy will be done. And we all had to let go. He lived 23 more years. That was God's plan for him. But I will tell you that those 23 years were not easy years. God knew what he was doing, and we trusted him for the journey. It wasn't just his faith journey, but it was all of us. So yeah, surrender your fear and let it go. How many times do we lay our children on the altar? Lord, they were yours before they were mine, and they're a precious gift. Touch them and heal them in what you way. So yes, health concerns are definitely a part of that, and the Spirit comes to lead and guide us in that. I could never have prayed that on my own, and I don't want to claim it as my own, but it was the Spirit that was at work, and the Spirit continues to be at work. We're given the Spirit of power and love and sound mind as we trust, really trust the Spirit and not ourselves, because we can't control any of it, can we? I haven't experienced that. The Spirit also loves. The Spirit comforts us during our trials and temptations. The Spirit loves us in our losses. The Spirit helps us find peace within, even when there is turmoil all around us. How many of you have experienced that one? Yeah. Your world is falling apart and things, the puzzle pieces aren't going together. But God can put them together in ways that bring blessing. We can watch family members in turmoil, and we want this child to do the best they can, and they're still struggling, right? God brings blessing through the turmoil, but we have to be willing to face that turmoil and not run from it, but walk with God and the Spirit through it. Therein, you will find peace. And sometimes in the midst of it, we're going to groan. Sometimes we're going to be praying. Sometimes, my friends, we're going to be shouting. Have you ever done that? Lord, I just don't understand why this has to happen. But if anything, God has taught me there's a reason. I don't know it, but God does. And we just have to trust. Ooh, we got a Spirit, my friends, that loves you upside and down, inside and out, because we are children of God. And so because we are, therein we find hope. Therein we find we are free from the suffering of this world, no matter what happens. No, it's not easy always. And there's no easy button to push, right? But God is with us through it all, in it all. Keep looking for the Spirit, listening for the Spirit, and trusting that the Spirit is leading and guiding you so that you too can fulfill your God-given purpose. Because He's got you where He wants you if we're listening to the Spirit. One last story. I was on a mission trip to the Blackfeet Indian Reservation. Two trips. The last trip was rather interesting. First trip, half of our crew came down with a virus that was prevalent in the area, and we contracted it through a child that had come to us in VBS that first day with the virus. And the poor thing, everything just went right through her. And we were just trying to keep her clean and love her up and protect her. She's just a little one, younger than this young lady. So half of the crew came down, the elder came in, and he had his incense, and I'm telling you what, it made a difference. Because he was praying over all of us in the way that is traditional to the Native Americans. They're spiritual too. They have the Spirit of God in them. The Spirit of God is in me, and I'm part Native American. The second trip, I met this one youth on the very day one, and he had a chip on his shoulder a mile high. His mother was Blackfeet. His stepfather was from another tribe, which was deeply a long history of hate. I don't want to use that word, but that's what it was. And he did not like his stepfather, but he wanted so earnestly to be with his mother. How did I find this all out? Because when they first started VBS, early in the morning, he showed up. Did he want to talk? And he wasn't going to. But that chip was there, and he wasn't going to let you knock it off either. But he had to discover for himself what was the best way to go. I was part of the science lab, which was in a tent out on the front lawn. And we would do science activities to demonstrate the principles of our faith. Interestingly enough, one morning when we went out, somebody, one of the children in front of me went to go in, and I started to go in. She came out coughing. It had been pepper sprayed, and we weren't allowed to use it, only to discover that this young man, to be accepted at least by somebody, he performed an initiation act with a gang on the reservation. We all want to belong. We all want to be loved. We all want to feel like we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. And that's God. That's a deep desire God plants with us, and only God wants to fill that. I pray that may be so for each of you. It's okay to groan in the Spirit, because if you're not groaning, the Spirit is doing it for you. Keep on praying. Keep on trusting the Spirit to lead and guide you in the journey of faith. Have a radical trust that the Spirit is with you. Let us pray. Lord God, the wind blows, reminding us of the movement of the Spirit. Reminding us, Lord God, that you are with us in all things. Cloudy days and sunny days. Days of turmoil and strife, and days where everything seems like it's just cooking along the way we think it should. But Lord, we place our hand in yours. And we ask that your Spirit will lead and guide us, love us where we are through the challenges that we encounter in life. And may we see that it's okay to groan, because your love is greater than the groaning. It's okay to keep on praying in earnest, even when we don't have the words, but are just sitting still before you. And it's okay, Lord God, to just utter one word, if that's all that comes to our lips and mind. For you are the Spirit that leads and guides us in all things. The Spirit that is present, breathing new life into our spirit. Lord God, we thank you for this gift and your power and presence today. In your holy name we pray. And all God's people say, amen. So, we are going to stand and we are going to sing 333 in the United Methodist Hymnal. We're going to practice some of what we just talked about. 333. I'm going to sing when the Spirit says sing. This morning we sang this too. It was too good to pass up. Stand as you are able. I'm gonna sing when the Spirit says sing. I'm gonna sing when the Spirit says sing. I'm gonna sing when the Spirit says sing. And obey the Spirit of the Lord. I'm gonna pray when the Spirit says pray. I'm gonna pray when the Spirit says pray. I'm gonna pray when the Spirit says pray, and obey the Spirit of the Lord. Get ready for your moaning, we're gonna groan. I'm gonna moan when the Spirit says moan. I'm gonna moan when the Spirit says moan. I'm gonna moan when the Spirit says moan, and obey the Spirit of the Lord. Shout. I'm gonna shout when the Spirit says shout. I'm gonna shout when the Spirit says shout. I'm gonna shout when the Spirit says shout. And obey the Spirit of the Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to come and join you in worship and praising God. There's always a wonderful time, and every opportunity, my friends, is a gift from God. So I thank God for each of you. Go with radical trust, my friends. Trust in the Spirit, that there you're going to find hope. Father, the Son, and